When running a business, HR issues can be a real problem. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/getup right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/getup, spelled BAM to the B-E-E .com/getup. Good morning. It is time to get up with Dak and a deal in Dallas. Expected to happen today. Why now? What does it mean? We've got Shefty with the answers. And quarterback questions. Two Super Bowl QBs are available. Will either of them wind up on a roster by the end of this week? We've got the answers. And NBA players have understandable concerns about COVID. But our insider will offer a simple phrase that suggests they will be playing next month. You'll hear it as we get up with you on this Monday, starting right now. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. We would have loved to have started with any of those stories on this day. But there's only one place to begin, and that is with this horrendous news from the world of NASCAR. It's a developing story this morning. A noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage stall at the NASCAR race in Talladega yesterday, less than 2 weeks after Wallace led efforts to push NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag. NASCAR announced the news last night well after the race had been postponed due to inclement weather and said it was launching an immediate investigation. Here was the statement. Late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the persons responsible and eliminate them from the sport. As we have stated unequivocally, there is no place for racism in NASCAR, and this act only strengthens our resolve to make the sport open and welcoming to all. Wallace released a statement last night on Twitter, which read in part, "Today's despicable act of racism and hatred leaves me incredibly saddened and serves as a painful reminder of how much further we have to go as a society and how persistent we must be in the fight against racism. As my mother told me today, they are just trying to scare you. This will not break me. I will not give in, nor will I back down. I will continue to proudly stand for what I believe in." We go live now to Talladega, where our NASCAR reporter Marty Smith is standing by with the latest. And Marty, this all came, as I mentioned, late last night. What more can you tell us about the incident and how it's being handled today?
Mike, good morning. The noose in Bubba's garage stall was actually seen by a member of his team. Daryl, Bubba, never saw it. He never saw it personally. And when that team member saw it, he alerted NASCAR, and NASCAR immediately had a meeting of its senior executive staff, including President Steve Phelps, Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell, and others. And they made the decision that they were going to figure out who this person is. They were going to remove this person from the sport as quickly and rapidly as possible, as swiftly as possible. And it's a brand new garage area that we're talking about. And so there's cameras. It should be a situation where they can look at those surveillance cameras in the garage area, determine who that person was, and remove them from the sport quickly.
So who has access to that area? I was reading as much as I could on this morning as I was arriving. Who has access to that place?
Well, there's actually a select few people now, Mike. Because of COVID-19, the garage area is roughly one-third or so of the amount of personnel you would typically see. It's about 16 people per team because of the COVID-19 protocol and restrictions. Fans are not allowed. This was not a situation where a fan might have meandered in and done this because there were no fans in the garage. So what you're looking at is you're looking at team members, you're looking at officials, you're looking at potential security, you're looking at maybe cleaning personnel that have access to these garage areas. But there was a lot of speculation last night about whether or not a fan might have made his or her way in there. There were no fans. So I think that we can safely say that that can be removed from the search and the equation.
All right. So obviously, as that investigation goes today, you will be there to cover it for us. Now, this was the first race amid the pandemic in which NASCAR did have fans there, welcoming this time at least up to 5,000 fans. What did you see both inside and outside of the track as it relates to the Confederate flag?
Well, first of all, it was a bunch of people who were really happy to be there. And I talked to the track staff last evening, Mike, between the race being postponed and the news coming out about what was found in Bubba's garage stall. So it was like a between time frame there. And the track staff was thrilled to report that all of the fans coming in were in compliance with the Confederate flag ban. Nobody tried to sneak anything in. Nobody had on clothing that was predominantly based on the flag, anything like that. So everyone was thrilled. Now, of course, we did have the knucklehead who flew the airplane that had the banner that said defund NASCAR and had a big Confederate flag banner. And when you're talking about restricted airspace, when they do figure out who that person was, I imagine it might be a bad day. Just a very, very odd day here at the racetrack at Talladega yesterday. And I said this last night. I don't want to get off on too many tangents, but this is very frustrating for those of us who love the sport. It's disgusting. It's deplorable. It's unacceptable. It's any one of those words that you want to use. And whomever this person is should be ashamed of themselves. This is not indicative of what NASCAR is. And it just really frustrates everybody. And it saddens us because all this does is feed into any, as Bubba Wallace said several weeks ago, any racial undertones that the sport might have, that the sport might carry from its past. It has tried so hard, especially in the last month, to take these progressive steps to show that it's unified and that it wants to be more inclusive. And you have guys like Alvin Kamara coming to the racetrack because they're interested after the Confederate flag ban. Marlon Humphrey, the former Alabama national champion who now plays for the Ravens. Marlon was here yesterday. You have Bernard Pollard, a former All-Pro, who is infatuated with the sport right now, asking questions every couple minutes on Twitter because he's interested in the sport because of this social movement. And then you have somebody who does something like this that it doesn't bring that to a halt. But it certainly allows people who are skeptical to go, see, I told you so. I told you they don't believe it. And please, that is not the case. That is not the case at all. This sport is not going to stop until they figure out who this is and remove them.
Well said, Marty. I could feel your passion last night. I feel it this morning, and you'll be there all morning for us covering this. If there are any developments in the investigation, we'll come back to you immediately. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, there was a lot of reaction on social media yesterday, as you would imagine, including from LeBron James, who tweeted, at Bubba Wallace, sickening, my brother, no, you don't stand alone. I'm right with you, as well as every other athlete. I just want to continue to say how proud I am of you for continuing to take a stand for change here in America and sports. At NASCAR, I salute you as well. Sprint Cup driver Michael McDowell added, God help us, the level of evil it takes to do something like this is disgusting. This is enraging and heartbreaking all at the same time. Dale Earnhardt Jr. simply tweeted, I hope Bubba wins it tomorrow. Now, we have more conversation here. I have Paul Feinbaum, who covered the sport for years, and Marcus Spears is with us this morning as well. And Marcus, I just would like to hear, as we hear Marty talking and we follow the events here, what thoughts are going through your mind?
You know, G, it's funny because Marty and I had a conversation about a week ago. Marty is a really good friend of mine. We talked about all of the society, everything that's going on. So I know where Marty's coming from. But here's my thing. And I'm I think right now everybody is on, we kind of going with the roller coaster that is when things happen, we shoot up and get all super emotional about it. And, you know, this whole thing is created. I'm done reacting to foolishness. I'm done reacting to fools. I'm done reacting to people that don't get it. Like, time is moving forward. They're getting left behind. Racist people are getting left behind. Does that mean it doesn't exist? No, it exists. We see it. We see it play out right with this situation right here. But I'm done coming on television talking about idiots that hide and are cowards and want to do these type of things in the dark. Because if you do things in the dark, obviously, you know that they are wrong. Obviously, you know there is something wrong with you if you have to hide every time you're doing some foolishness. So to whoever did that, all I ask, like I've said for years, this has been my stance, just come out so we know who you are. We'll know how to approach you. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it acceptable, but we at least know who you are. Gee, I learned one thing from sports. One of the most important lessons I learned from playing sports. Man, just be who you are. Show me who you are. I respect you more as a teammate. I respect you more as a colleague. I respect you more as a coach. Don't come in as a coach. Don't come into the facility one day, this guy, and I don't know what I'm going to get on Tuesday. And I don't know what I'm going to get on Wednesday. This is very simple for me. If you're a racist, come out so we know who you are. Everybody knows how to deal with you. But it's a message to you that you are getting left behind. NASCAR, when they banned the Confederate flag, they left you behind. This situation, they left you behind. We're going to continue to push forward. The country is going to be better for it. And people that are like that are making their last play to continue something in this country that's ugly and unnecessary. And they can keep trying, but they're going to lose.
It's really well said. Paul Feinbaum, you covered the sport for a long time. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what Marty just said about the efforts that the sport is sincerely making to try to be more inclusive. And what, if any, damage to that you think this incident does?
What took them so long, Greeny? I mean, I've been covering the sport since the 80s. It was racist then. And did it stop being racist 2 weeks ago when NASCAR issued a statement banning the Confederate flag? I think that's the issue. And that's the problem right now. Everyone thinks that eradicated racism in society, as Marcus just eloquently put it, or in NASCAR. And I know we're talking about a singular incident, but we're going to find out this very well may have been an inside job. I mean, somebody didn't just parachute in from that plane carrying the Confederate flag and do this. I mean, there are a lot of people that aren't speaking out, like Marcus alluded to, that really don't like the fact that this sport is changing. Yes, it's a considerably better sport today, the sport that Marty is covering than the one I covered when you heard the N-word furled around like a Coke can. I mean, it's absurd. But, you know, I give NASCAR credit for trying to change, but I ask the question, what took them so long? And finally, this is going to leave an indelible stain on a sport. You can't wipe this away. You can't eradicate racism by a statement. This is a problem for a sport that is still deeply troubled, in my opinion.
I'm going to leave it there for the moment. But again, we do have Marty standing by at the track. If there are any further developments in this, again, it's an investigation that could be done relatively quickly. We will have the very latest for you immediately. Meantime, we have more news to get to this morning. Dak is expected to sign his franchise tender later today. Shefty will join us live. Tell us exactly what that means as we continue. We get up with you on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Get Up is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. By Burger King, the Impossible Chris Sandwich is now at Burger King. And by Macy's. All right, to football. Adam Schefter reporting that Dak Prescott is planning on signing his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender with the Cowboys today, which would make Prescott contractually obligated to report to camp on time. The two sides still have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal, and it is my delight to bring Shefty back into the... It's been far too long, and I will just quickly say that with your hair looking at... You look so much like Paul Rudd right now that if from the moment I first saw you, it actually threw me off. But let's not get ourselves sidetracked from that.
But we digress.
What is the significance of Dak signing this deal?
Well, Green, aside from the fact that it does lock him into training camp for the 2020 season, I think it starts the clock on Dak's leverage. He's got the leverage, in my mind, because there aren't many quarterbacks that wind up with the franchise tag. There aren't many quarterbacks that wind up playing on a franchise tag. He's scheduled to make $31.4 million this season. If the two sides cannot get a long-term deal worked out by July 15th and Dak continues to insist he wants a four-year deal, the Cowboys want a five-year deal, neither side willing to budge, and they have to franchise him again next year when the cap could be flat or down due to the lack of attendance and the lower revenues, that means his franchise figure for next year will be $37.7 million when the cap is flat or down. That could be crippling to a Cowboys cap where they're already paying Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and some of the offensive linemen that they are. And then the year after, if we're going to extrapolate even more, his franchise figure for that year would be $54.4 million. So unless Dallas signs him to a long-term deal, Dak is just going to continue to make more and more money. And let me just add this. We're going to see at some point in time Patrick Mahomes sign a new deal and raise the number on franchise figures for quarterbacks and raise the salaries. We're going to see Deshaun Watson sign a new deal. And so the prices on these quarterbacks is only going to rise. But for the time being, Dak is locked in for this year at $31.4 million. And if you wanted to buy stock in a business, you'd want to buy stock in the business of Dak Prescott.
That's phenomenally explained. Very quickly, because I don't always assume that all fans know exactly the mechanics of these things. They can continue trying to work out a long-term deal, but only until July 15th. And if they don't, then after that, he's playing this 1 year on the franchise tag no matter what. That's the way it works.
That's correct. And they cannot sign him to a long-term deal during the season. So July 15th is the last day this season that Dak Prescott can sign a long-term deal for this year. And so there won't be discussions about any contract during the season. It's this season.
Right. So the only thing that really changes as a result of him signing this is the Cowboys can no longer rescind it or whatever it is. He really does claim even more leverage in this situation, right, Shefty, real quick?
And he won't be Le'Veon Bell. He won't be a no-show for the start of training camp, right, or wonder when he's coming in.
Correct. So now we have a little clarity. Marcus back with us, and Tim Hasselbeck is here. Very quickly, Swaggoo, as my former Cowboy, and you still make your home there in Dallas, so you're close to the situation. What do you think about them, about Dak making this decision right now?
Damn, I wouldn't have signed G, and I hate that Shefty is always smart and know what the hell he's talking about, but I still stand on the fact that Dak is the guy that the Cowboys wanted to have as their starting quarterback. They wanted to franchise him. There's one caveat to my thinking, my level of thinking. Sometimes when we see guys agree to sign these franchise tags, we understand that there is closeness in play of a contract. I'm hoping, just for my sake, because you know I done said on this show and said Dak shouldn't do a damn thing. He shouldn't show up. He shouldn't talk. He shouldn't even say the Cowboys' name. So hopefully, I'm praying that it is something close in getting a contract done. But if not, I understand where Shefty is coming from. And quite honestly, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it as when they signed Andy Dalton is when Dallas took all the leverage. And then Dak signing this tender, I would be reactionary. My thought would be Dak is reactionary to the fact that they already have things in place.
Marcus,
based on him not showing up. So
Marcus,
this was kind of a pressure situation.
What you
for
can't
him
see
sign.
Quickly, what you can't see is Shefty shaking his head vigorously.
Yeah.
Shefty, why are you shaking your head vigorously?
Well, a couple of things, Marcus. They're not any closer to a deal, and Dak made the absolute right decision in signing this because in uncertain times, you want to lock in your $31.4 million. What's the downside? How many quarterbacks have we seen suffer career-ending injuries? Alex Smith, Joe Theismann, it basically doesn't happen. Dak has a chance to leverage himself into one of the highest paid free agents in NFL history. His price is not going to go down. He's playing on a great offense with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb and a great offensive line. There's no downside. There's no reason he should have stayed out. He should have signed this tag when they gave it to him. Start of the clock. He's doing it now.
Hold on.
Wait, let me get...
Hold on.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I got to get Timmy in here.
No, let Tim go.
Poor Tim is sitting here. He's listening to the whole conversation.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, but listen, Dak got all the leverage. When you go back to the start of the 2019 season, you know, prior to that season, he was cash poor as quarterbacks go. He basically had pocketed less than $3.5 million at that point. And if you believe the reporting from Ed Werder, and there's no reason not to, the Cowboys offered him a deal that would have paid him about $33 million per year. He said no to that. And when he said no to that, and he played great in the 2019 season, now the Cowboys were forced. They had to franchise him, which basically puts him in a situation where you're going to pay him $31 million, and as Adam said, $37 the next year. Dak's jumping off point now is 2 years, $70 million. And then whatever you want from him beyond that, whether it's a 4-year or 5-year deal, he's in charge now. He's in total control. So signing it, like Adam is saying, is basically acknowledging, hey, I have 2 years, $70 million from you guys. That's what it says. And he's been a guy that, by standards in terms of quarterback play, he's been cash poor. He kind of needs to do that in terms of how he's playing his hand.
Go ahead,
and
Jeff.
I'll tell you another thing. That we're going to see the media rights deal go up. We're going to see the money go up. The longer Dak puts this off, a long-term deal, the more money he's going to make, because those other quarterback deals on Mahomes and Watson will eventually come in. The money will go up. The cap will eventually go up. And Dak is going to crush. If he plays on the franchise tag, man, again, you want to buy stock in the Dak Prescott business right
Marcus,
now.
Marcus, I got 30 seconds. Have they won you over?
Gee, exactly what Tim and Adam is talking about is exactly why we can't stand quarterbacks in the NFL. Who in the hell says they created leverage with money that they don't have in the bank yet? They took $37 million next year. How we know Dak ain't going to suck this year and Dallas going to be like, we don't want you?
Listen.
Like, all of these.
Because he never has.
I have to take a break.
Wishful scenarios. Y'all don't know what the hell going to happen with Dak after this year. You don't know if he going to step in the damn pothole and not be able to play. Get $31 million. I get it. It's more than what he's made. But we was talking about $100+ million if he signed the long-term deal.
All right, hold this thought. I have to take
a
break. We're coming
back
with much, much, much more on this and other quarterback situations as we continue. Our NFL QB tells us why teams would be smart not only to work out Colin Kaepernick, but to sign him. That and more on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We are back on Get Up this morning with this developing story. If you are just joining us and have not heard, a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage stall at the NASCAR race in Talladega, Alabama yesterday, less than 2 weeks after Wallace led efforts to push NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag. NASCAR announced the news last night, well after the race had been postponed due to inclement weather, and said it was launching an immediate investigation. Our NASCAR reporter Ryan McGee had these thoughts.
He's not going to be any more Confederate DNA-wise than I am. And I know exactly that my family was on the wrong side of history on that thing. And you know, I saw somebody tweeted out that the Gilmore Girls lasted like twice as long as the Confederacy did. It's 5 years, and it was a losing cause, and I'm glad they lost, even though it was my relatives. So I'm glad they lost. They were on the wrong side of history. And these people, whoever this person was or people were that put that noose in a garage stall, and whoever decided to fly that Confederate flag over Talladega Speedway today, they're on the wrong side of history, and they're scared, and this is the last grope of the morons.
If you're just joining us again, Marty Smith is with us live from the track this morning. He remains there, and if there are any updates in the investigation, we'll pass them along immediately. Meanwhile, the postponed event will be the fourth race of the season to be held on a weekday today. That'll set a modern era record. It's the start of what will be a very busy week for NASCAR. There are two more races slated for this weekend at Pocono Raceway. Again, it's a developing story this morning, and as there is any more information, we will bring it to you here. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Colin Kaepernick has remained a free agent since opting out of his contract with the 49ers after the 2016 season. And obviously over the last week or so, there's been a great deal of conversation about the possibility of his getting back into the league and a team bringing him in. And so we come back to Adam Schefter, who's with us this morning, and I have Marcus and Tim as well. Schefter, what is the latest you're hearing on teams being interested in Colin Kaepernick?
Well, we heard Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, say last week that Colin Kaepernick was on the Chargers' emergency list of workout quarterbacks. But keep in mind, the Chargers used a first-round draft pick on Justin Herbert. They already drafted Easton Stick last year. They like him quite a bit. And they have Tyrod Taylor as their starter. So they're not exactly banging down Colin Kaepernick's door, bringing him in for workout right now at this particular point in time. There haven't been any other teams that have stepped forward to say, we want to bring him in for a workout. We want to sign him. Really, not much has changed other than there actually has been one NFL head coach in Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, who brought him up last week and talked about the fact that he would be interested in bringing him to L.A. in the right circumstances. But it's not imminent. It's not pressing. It's not happening anytime soon as of last week, Greeny.
Marcus, what do you see as a good fit for Colin from a football standpoint?
Man, a couple of places, G, and I want everybody to hold on to their seats when I say this. So just know that it's about to be a bombshell. What about Philly? What about the Philadelphia Eagles? When you look at what everything that's happened with Carson Wentz, obviously they drafted Jalen Hurts. They have a quarterback in that mold, but he's young. And Colin has been in this type of system, athletic, using his ability to get on the outside. That was one of the things that I sat and watched Dan Orlovsky talk about with Nick Foles and running the RPO and doing things to create leverages against defenses. You look at Buffalo with Greg Roman there, who was his coach in San Francisco as well. The league is actually trending towards what Colin Kaepernick was doing for the 49ers during his time and when he was playing at an elite level. So that Philly one is interesting to me. To be able to come into Philly to back up Carson Wentz or even be behind Jalen Hurts, based on what they drafted, looking for a quarterback to give you that athletic ability and also be able to play at a high level. But there are places, man, when you look at what Baltimore did with Robert Griffin III. Everybody left RG3 out for dead. He couldn't play anymore. Plus, he got injured, so the athleticism was gone. Ended up in Baltimore becoming the backup, played well in some preseason games as well. So there are a number of places that you could see as long as he's ready to come back and play and help.
What do you think, Tim?
Well, I think Marcus makes a good point about the way the league is trending. The league is trending to doing more of the stuff that Colin was really good at doing back in 2013. And so in terms of fits, I think you can look at teams like the Seattle Seahawks, the Atlanta Falcons, the Rams. Like, those would be teams that I think it would make sense. They have an established quarterback, yes, but some of the stuff they're doing offensively would fit the skills that we saw Colin Kaepernick possess in the National Football League back when he was a starter. So I think from a physical standpoint, if he's doing some of the same stuff that we saw him do when he was in San Francisco as a starter, I think you can easily get to a point where you go, hey, wait a second, we'd rather him in that than Matt Schaub or Geno Smith or some of the guys with some of those teams I mentioned.
And how about the dynamics? Go ahead, Sheffy's raising his hand. Whenever Sheffy raises his hand,
Marcus and Tim have raised some interesting teams. The Seahawks last week, Pete Carroll came out and said he admitted he made a mistake in not signing Colin Kaepernick in 2017. Well, it's not too late to rectify that mistake now. It's not like they have somebody else out there. Geno Smith has been pretty good, but they could bring in another quarterback like Colin Kaepernick. And Baltimore is a team that talked with Colin Kaepernick before the Ravens owner was insulted. I'd like to think everybody has moved on from this at this point in time, and maybe the two sides could go revisit that. Those are two teams that talked to Kaepernick in the past that would make sense now as much as anybody else.
Right, I'm going to leave that there for the moment because I there's other stuff I want to get to this morning, but we'll come back to this. I'll be fascinated to see if and when Colin Kaepernick does wind up with another team. But there's another NFL situation that bears keeping an eye on, particularly for me. Unhappy with his current contract, first-team All-Pro safety Jamal Adams told the Jets he wanted to be traded last week. The Cowboys are one of seven teams Adams would reportedly welcome being traded to. And yesterday, listen to this, Adams told a fan he's trying.
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up,
hey, you coming to Dallas?
Hey, man, I'm trying, bro.
Terrific. So there's that. Shefty, what? I mean, what is going to happen here?
Listen, the Jets don't want to trade Jamal Adams, Greeny. That doesn't mean that they won't trade him. At one point in time, a couple of years ago, the Oakland Raiders didn't want to trade Khalil Mack. And then later in the summer, they did just that. And so I think there are teams out there that are investigating the possibility of whether they could make a deal that makes sense for Jamal Adams. But it's going to take somebody going to the Jets and really stepping up to give up the Jets, give the Jets the compensation they need, and then perhaps give Jamal Adams the compensation that he would need. So it's a tough trade to pull off because of where the Jets are right now. Jamal Adams can keep mentioning teams' names and mentioning places he'd like to go, and there are a number of them out there. But the fact of the matter is he's under contract to the Jets for a couple more years. They control his rights, and right now they're not inclined to trade him. It doesn't mean they won't listen. It doesn't mean they wouldn't trade him for the right offer, but it's going to take a big offer if the Jets are even going to think about parting ways with Jamal Adams.
Now, for those of you who don't watch a lot of Jets football, he's not a good player. He's great. He is a genuinely great player, but it's something that is not considered to be a premium position. So Marcus, I come to you, and he's an LSU guy like you are, and I know you know him, but my question to you would be this. Do you rip up the contract and make him happy, which is obviously what he wants, for a player at that position in the NFL in 2020? It's an honest question. What do you think is the right thing to do?
Yes, you rip the contract up, G, because he's going to be a stalwart on your defense for a number of years to come. Jamal Adams has basically outperformed his rookie deal. Like, he is the catalyst for the New York Jets. He is the one place that has been of consistency since he arrived in the organization. With that being said, though, I don't think Jamal Adams wants to be in New York. I think the money would just incentivize him to stay there. But I believe his heart is already elsewhere, possibly in Dallas or with teams that he desires. And I know you hate to hear that, G, and I understand. Because when you have really good players on your team that you root for, you want to keep them. But this ain't the first time. They need to just break up. They need to break up. We've all been in those relationships, whether you're a man or a woman, that you've been in that relationship. You say, man, that is, she is such a good person. She does everything I ask of her. But there's something missing and I just got to get out of here. Right. And then you meet the one that you marry and you continue to be with and you love and you build this life with. But you always remember that one that you thought could have been the wife. It was just something was not there. That's Jamal Adams and the New York Jets. Something is not there. Jamal Adams is ready to bounce. He's ready to go. This ain't the first time we've talked about this. This ain't the first time it's been come up. And it's obvious that he wants to be out because publicly Jamal Adams knows at this time, whatever you say in public is going to come out. I mean, whatever you say in private is going to come out the light. The dude was obviously recording it. He said, we trying to get to Dallas. Stop it, G. He ready to go. Just break up, man. Agree to disagree and break up. So, Jets and Jamal, break up.
So what you're basically saying is that he's the only really great player we've drafted in forever, and he's just not that into me. That's basically what you're telling me. He's just not
he's
that
not
into
you.
Me. All right, I have two more questions, super
That's
quickly.
It.
Shefty, what's it going to take? Like, how what happens here? Give me some mechanics. How does this happen if it's going to happen?
Well, I think this dance is going to go on into the summer, frankly. It's not like the Jets, I believe, are going to go and move him this week because he issued the list of teams that he would welcome a trade to. So, again, this is a whole long dance, and I think it would take a team truly stepping up. And right now, NFL teams are gathering their last breaths before they hopefully report back to training camp next month. So I don't think that this is the time that that happens. I think 2-3 weeks from now, maybe there's a team that puts together a package, a compelling package, that could get the Jets to think and start conversations on a potential deal, but it's not happening right now, I don't believe, even though there are teams I know who are thinking about him.
Swagger, just in 30 seconds, if, for the sake of discussion, the Cowboys got him and put him in that secondary and just gave up draft picks, how good does that make them?
Damn good. That's a game changer. We've talked about the safety spot, and Dallas has had some guys step up sparingly and have good games, but the inconsistency at where they were, they had to move Byron, they moved Byron Jones from safety to cornerback. You sign Jamal Adams, it changes the landscape of your defense. That's the bottom line.
I know.
Well, hold on. How are you paying Jamal Adams and Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott, who wants to, you can't pay everybody. It doesn't work like that.
Dang. Exactly.
Hey,
tell them
hey,
that.
Hey, Shefty.
Yeah.
They ain't paying Dak so they can pay him. You said it's fine. Everything is
okay.
Good. No problem.
They're going to pay him $31 million
bucks. Let's sign every damn body. Let's sign everybody, G. Hey,
they're paying Dak $31.4 this year. They're paying Dak this year.
It's so good to have these two back together again.
Year. And they're the only team in the NFL.
Yeah. They're rolling the bump, one way or another. We're going to turn our attention to the NBA in a moment with that phrase on your screen and why it is so important. And Shefty and Marcus will just continue to yell at each other because you know what? There's nothing better than that.
Telling Marcus, the Cowboys are the only team in the league paying all these guys over 20. They can't keep doing that, Marcus.
Shefty, they don't have a cap. According to you, they don't have a cap.
Come
they
on.
Everybody.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Back on GetUp, NBA players have until Wednesday to inform teams whether or not they plan on participating in the bubble restart at Disney's Wide World of Sports in Orlando. But as you've seen, if you've been paying any attention to the news, coronavirus cases have been surging in Florida, which adds yet another wrinkle to players' decisions. And here's our insider, Brian Windhorst. And Wendy, through a series of sort of unrelentingly bleak news that I saw over the weekend, you had one phrase that gave me a lot of optimism that they'll do it. And that phrase is?
Too big to fail. And Greeny, you could pull up clips from this show with me talking to you in April, and I was talking about some of these things that are coming to fruition now, and I thought that it was not going to happen because of it. But I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't understand how the momentum of this would work. And based on the conversations that I'm having across the league, yes, there's going to be players start testing positive tomorrow. Yes, we're going to have players who are so focused on the societal challenges that we have that they can't play basketball. Yes, we're going to have players who say, I'm going to stay over here in Europe where I think it's going to be safer for my family. Yes, we're going to have players who are like, I don't think this is a good time for me to go to Orlando, not just because of the coronavirus, but because I've got free agency coming up and I'm worried about injury. And despite all of that, it's going to go forward. Whether that will be the mood in 2 weeks, I cannot tell you. But for now, this is going to happen. There's a lot of players excited about this. We're going to be dealt with setbacks. The league believes they protected themselves from those setbacks. But it is going forward.
And what's the most important stuff fans need to know about how they're doing it and what the mechanics and the process are of getting this whole thing started?
Right. Well, what they're saying is, look, we understand the situation in Orlando is challenging. We're hoping that they're working on it and going to get it better. But we're building a bubble, and our bubble will be safer. Our bubble will be safe whether it's in Orlando or whether it's in Kathmandu. And part of this bubble, they just showed the players some information yesterday on these tracking rings that they want them to wear that potentially could identify possible coronavirus infection a day or two ahead of when it might show up in a test. And they're whether the players are actually going to wear it when they are away from basketball and could potentially be monitored, that's another story altogether. But they have taken every precaution they can, Greeny, and they believe that this will insulate them and give them the best opportunity, and away they will go.
All right. Outstanding insight. Brian Windhorst, thank you, my man. And we'll stay close to you as this thing works its way towards Wednesday. So that's the news from the NBA and their attempt to restart. Then there's the college football news, which seemed to be just terrible all weekend. 23 Clemson players have tested positive for COVID since they and the staff returned to campus 2 weeks ago. According to the school, the majority of those were asymptomatic. Meanwhile, LSU has placed a large number of its football players in quarantine in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. Though not all players in isolation have tested positive, LSU began voluntary workouts on June 9th. Kansas State has suspended all football workouts for 2 weeks. As of Friday, 14 of the 130 athletes tested were positive for COVID-19. They've been placed in self-isolation for at least 10 days. And then at UCLA, 30 current players and one former player have signed a document that asks for third-party health officials to be put in charge of making sure safety guidelines are being followed at the school. Players are scheduled to return to campus on July 6th. So there's all of that. And here they are. Laura Rutledge is back and Paul Feinbaum is here. And Laura, we've been talking about this now for months. It feels like the last few days have been really rough. What are you hearing from the people you talk to?
Yeah, I think you just said it, Greeny, in the best way possible. It's been rough. I think the other part of this is that I'm hearing that there are many more cases that we don't know about. And that's to be expected. But I think this is more widespread and maybe a larger volume of cases than people even realize within college football. It's interesting, too, because you brought up that UCLA story. I'm getting much more of a sense of concern from some of the players that I'm talking to that wasn't there even a couple of weeks ago. And there's actually some players who were trying to figure out how they could write a letter to the NCAA expressing their concern. But here's the problem. They want to try and remain anonymous because they're concerned that all of a sudden maybe a university would say, hey, if you're that worried about this, then just don't even play. We can go ahead and quarantine you and you don't even have to be a part of this. It's this double-edged sword where they're worried for their health, but they also still really want to play football and want to be given a fair chance to compete. This will continue to be very complicated, and I think you'll see a lot more schools have to enforce some quarantine, and yet still in all of this, most of the people that I talk to, ADs, coaches, still are planning on starting college football on time.
Laura, I know this is a complicated question, but again, we've been talking about this and working our way towards this for months. Has this thus far been, in your view, greater than, worse than what most people involved were expecting? Has this exceeded what they were expecting to happen?
I think it's about what they expected, but maybe not as immediate of a spread. And look, I mean, I can't exactly speak for every single person, but the large amount of people that I have talked to thought that there would be positive tests. I mean, they were expecting that. That's why they had all these plans in place for quarantine and ways to try and keep these players safe and healthy. But until it was going to happen, they didn't exactly know how they were going to handle it and how people would react. And I think the other big piece of this, and I know Paul has more on this too, the parent side of it, the concern amongst the parents. Now this is becoming very real, and I think that changes the level of concern.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think that's really the issue. The parents are starting to call coaches around the country and say, how are you going to keep my son safe? I know of at least one school where the head coach had to have a Zoom meeting, Greeny, with his team to try to calm everyone down because it's getting rather chaotic. And Laura's right. There are several double digit cases that I have heard of at major places that we are not being told about. And I think it's a situation where college football, if they don't get control of it now, they may lose control of it. And remember one important thing. These are voluntary workouts and there are no students on campus. What's going to happen if students start pouring onto campuses? And that's a problem that presidents are facing all across the country this morning.
Most schools that I'm aware of are planning on bringing their students back to campus, the regular students, I should say, not just the athletes, in the fall, but we'll see if that remains the case. Paul, transparency is a huge word in our culture today. What are your expectations relative to that and the college football season?
So far, it's been very disappointing. The ones who are being transparent are making the lead story on ESPN every afternoon and morning. The ones who aren't are underground somewhere. But I think it's time for there to be more. I mean, this is a critical situation. You can't keep this within. And by the way, most of this will get out because these players are texting back and forth with buddies at other schools. So it won't be down low for long. And the real problem, I think, for college football is stemming this negativity. It's not over yet. Laura is correct. Every AD is saying the right thing. But do they really believe it? Some of the ones I'm beginning to hear from really don't believe it any longer, although they're communicating it publicly. We're going to play football. Are we, though?
Laura, quickly, what are you looking for now? What's the next step in this? What are you keeping an eye on today?
Well, let's keep track of what happens when Oklahoma brings their players back, scheduled for July 1st. Lincoln Riley was a little concerned about how all of this would go. Let's see how they monitor things. I think you just have to look and see what's reported and how these schools are keeping their players safe. That just containing as much as possible is going to be a big key here for things to start on time or to start at all.
All right, we'll keep a close eye on this because, again, in the colleges, they obviously have a different set of challenges than the pros do. Guys, great work. Thank you both. Great to see you both. And I want to mention that we will continue to celebrate the 48th anniversary of the historic Title IX ruling with two more days of our women's sports-centric initiative anchored by more programming across all of our networks, ESPN.com, ESPN Audio, and ESPNW's social handles. Right, as we continue, Dak expected to sign his franchise tender today. So who better to get reaction from than Cowboys superfan Stephen A. Smith? He's going to be mad we even said that jokingly. He's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.